أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We pick up in the matn regarding al-wudu. We talked about the things that are having to do with siwak, and the muallif mentions the only wajib that we have regarding wudu, which is the tasmiyah, to say bismillah. Then he continues with وَمِنَ السُّنَنِ الْوُضُوءِ, from the things that are sunan in al-wudu'. And he repeats as-siwak, to number them. And I want to number them for the tulab ilm's ease for memorization. طيب. So, from the sunan of wudu', as the muallif has mentioned here, أَوَّلًا السِّوَاك, the miswak, to do the siwak. طيب. غَسْلُ الْكَفَّيْنِ ثَلَاثًا, to wash the hands three times. And we'll talk about, I'm just going to go through the part of the matan first, and then we'll inshallah talk about adilla and proofs and khilaf and all of that inshallah ta'ala. طيب غسل الكفين ثلاثا ويجب من النوم الليل ناقضا للوضوء. The muallif here, he mentions that it is sunnah, mustahab, to wash the hands three times in wudu. And then he mentioned the mas'ala that is not directly related to wudu, but it is related to washing the hands three times, which is that it is wajib to wash the hands three times if you wake up from the sleep of night, the deep sleep of night, that invalidates the wudu. Inshallah, we'll talk about detail. I'm just going through the thing. But that is not from the sunan of wudu. So don't number that. So far you have two. One is a siwak. Second is غَسْلُ الْكَفَّيْنِ ثَلَاثَ, to wash the hands three times. Now, we separate between yad, which will include the whole arm, which is a rukn, an obligatory aspect, and washing just the hands in the beginning, which is sunnah. طيب. Next, which is to begin al-buda'at, بِالْمَضْمَضَ ثُمَّ الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ, to begin with al-madmada, and then take the water in the nose. And we'll talk about one hand or two handfuls or three or separation. We'll talk about all of that. But to begin with madmada before istinshaq. Tayyib. What's madmada? To take the water into your mouth. This is called madmada. Istinshaq is to take it in the nose. To put the water in the nose. Istinthar is to take it out of the nose. Just to be clear about terminology. Tayyib. Then وَالْمُبَالَغَةُ فِيهِمَا لِغَيْرِ الصَّائِمِ, and to exaggerate or to cleanse well for the one who is not fasting. طيب. So the issue here is that it is from the sunnah to do madmada and istinshaq in that order. Madmada and istinshaq in and of themselves are fard. They are obligatory. They are from the things that are from the arkan of wudu. We'll discuss that under the faraid and things like that. But to to do it vigorously, to exaggerate in it, is sunnah, not obligatory. To start with madmada before istinshaq is sunnah, not obligatory. Meaning, if somebody were to just put the water in the mouth and the nose and not mix it around and not take it all around the mouth, you would still fulfill the obligation. But the sunnah is with the madmada to take it all around, and as some of the ulama mentioned, to take it to the back of the throat in gargling, except for the one who is fasting. For the one who is fasting, that's not sunnah, because of the clear hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged us to do to increase in the madmada istinshaq, except for the one who saim. And we'll talk about adilla later. I'm just explaining the suratul mas'ala right now, the what is the mas'ala about. And same thing with istinshaq, when you take it in the nose with the water in the nose, you want to take it up a little bit, and this is something that's mentioned in hadith, and also there are a lot of scientific benefits from this as well, to clean out the germs and bacteria and things that are caught up in the nose hairs. But not for the fasting person, because you don't want to accidentally take it too far and swallow it, because that would invalidate the fast. Tayyib. And do it vigorously or to exaggerate in it is mustahab, is sunnah regularly, but not for the one who's fasting. Tayyib. And that is now the third, fourth. Tayyib. I'll number them again, inshallah ta'ala. وتخليل اللحية الكثيفة يعني to put your fingers through the beard. خلل يعني to go through it. خلل اللحية we'll talk about inshallah in detail, but for the one that's a thick beard. If the beard is very thin and you can get to the surface, then it is obligatory for you to get inside and wash the whole face. Because washing the face from Surah Al-Ma'idah, we know to be from the obligatory aspects of wudu. But if you are unable to, if you have a thicker beard, you cannot get to all the skin underneath the beard because it's a thick beard, then you do the best you can and then you make khilal al-lahya. Yani you put your wet fingers through the beard and to try to get as much as you can. This is an obligatory aspect, but to put your wet fingers through the beard is not obligatory, rather it is sunnah. It is mustahab. Tayyib. Then, wal asabi', and to get between the fingers. Tayyib. And again, this is the Surah Al-Mas'ala. This is just to explain the Mas'ala. We'll get into Adilla and Khilaf and all of that later. To wash the yad from the tip of the finger to the mirafiq, yani mirfaqain, the elbows, including the elbows. And we'll talk about this inshallah under the fara'id, is obligatory. But when you're doing that, to additionally put your fingers through the other fingers and to go between the fingers is mustahab. Having said that, let me explain this. As my teacher explained, this doesn't mean that these places inside the hand don't have to get wet. Meaning if you just kept your hand incredibly tight and no water got in the middle of it, your wudu would not be correct. But regularly as we wash, the water gets in the middle anyway, so the obligation is fulfilled. So then it's from the sunnah to go through the fingers. Inshallah, at the end of the Bab al-Wudu, I'm going to, inshallah, my niyyah is to have a video of the wudu from beginning to end acted out, so you'll know inshallah all of that in a summary and you can share that with others inshallah. Tayyib. So this is yani to go between the fingers, not saying that to put water to the fingers, that area has to be washed as an obligation, but as water may have already gone, but to do an additional going through the fingers, this is something that is mustahab. And to begin with the right side. Tayyib. Tayyamanu yani to begin with the right side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained certain aspects of the wudu, and from them washing the face and making masha of the head and washing the arms and washing the feet, and within that is included the mouth and nose because that's a part of the face, and wiping over the entire head, and within that are the ears because, as we'll mention the hadith on this, the ears are part of the head and so on. Those are obligatory, but now, as we always do in wudu, we begin from the right side. We do the right hand first, we do the right arm first, the right leg first, and so on and so on. This is sunnah. This is mustahab. This is the way you should do it. I don't want people to be mistaken when I say sunnah. It doesn't mean you don't have to do it. This is the way you should do it. And I'll explain some of the istalahat here in a minute as well, after I go over the Surah Al-Masail here. Tayyib. وَأَخَذُوا الْمَاءٍ جَدِيدٍ لِأُذْنَيْنِ. And to take fresh water for the ears, yani when you make mas'ha of the head, and to take a new batch of water for the ear. We'll discuss the adilla and what is rajih and stuff about this. But this is the next one. وَالْغَسْلُهُ الثَّانِيَ وَالثَّالِثَ. And the second and third washing, these are sunnah. Tayyib, so how many did we cover? As-siwak, that is one. غُسْلُ الْكَفَّيْنِ ثَلَاثًا, to wash the hand three times, that is two. Tayyib, beginning with madmada and then istinshaq, that is three. The mubalagha, to increase or to do it vigorously, except for the one who's fasting, in madmada and istinshaq, this is four. Tayyib, to takhleel al-lahya al-kathifa, yani to go through the thicker beard with your fingers, this is five. And the going through between the fingers, that is six. Tayyib, and beginning everything with the right, this is seven. And taking new water for the ears that is not used for the head, that is eight. and then washing a second and third time. You can say 9 and 10, or you can put them together as 9, doesn't matter. Meaning everything once is obligatory, doing everything a second and third time except for the head, because the majority of the hadith mentioned masah of the head and ears only once. But to do everything else a second and third time, this is sunnah, something that you should do. This is the mustahab way, although not an obligation. This is the 9th or 9th and 10th, however you want to number it, inshallah ta'ala, min as-sunan. Tayyib. Now that I've explained some of the basics of the Surah Al-Mas'ala, yani what is the Mas'ala really about, I want to explain inshallah ta'ala a little bit about, first thing, what do we mean by sunnah? As-sunnah, yani ma hul murad bihi, yani what does it mean when we say sunnah? Ma amara bihi al-shari' la ala wajh al-ilzam. Tayyib, this is what al-shari', yani the one who ordained the sharia. Who was the one that ordained the sharia? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained upon us, but not from the aspects that He has made obligatory. Tayyib, this is a technical definition the ulema of usulul fiqh and stuff give. Now let me explain a little bit, because we're talking about sunan. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained in the Quran, and everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us or ordered us to do, having to do with the religion, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all a part of wahi. Tayyib? This is the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the taking of the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This has to do with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon us to establish the Qur'an, this is the, establish the salah, or recite the Qur'an in our salah, or to make ruku', or to make sujood, or so on, this is from wahi. Then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us how to make ruku', how many times to make ruku' in each salah, how to make sujood, how many rak'at, this is also from wahi. All of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ordained things for us in Islam. But there are two types of yani orders that require something from us. And then there are types that forbid us from things. I'm not going into that right now. That is where makruh and haram and things come in. But that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He orders us with, there is one where there is yani, it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained you must do. Either it's an order in the Quran, or it's the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are obligatory. Whether you call it fard or wajib, yani that's really the same thing. But we will separate some things like arkan from wajibat and things in each ibadah to explain it. Tayyib. But those are obligatory. You have to do it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained some things for us from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I'm talking about ibadat. I'm not talking about if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in a desert, it doesn't mean that it's sunnah in ibadah for us to live in the desert. No, those are things that have to do with adat. This has to do with the customs and local, with the time period that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in. But if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to eat with the right hand, and He ordered us eat with the right hand, then this becomes a part of ibadah, that you must eat with your right hand. Even if you're left-handed, you eat with the right hand, you shake hands with the right hand, you make tahara, you wash with the left hand. This is a system of cleanliness in Islam. Tayyib. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, ordained upon us that we should enter the house with our right foot, or enter the masjid with the right foot, or yani so on and so on, then this is no longer customs. This is now part of the religion. Tayyib. On the other hand, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked to eat certain types of food, you may not like them, and that's fine. That's not something that He has ordained upon us in a religious obligation. Tayyib. So, when we have the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah did something, tayyib, or he ordered it, but then gave a qareena or a exception that showed that it's not obligatory, then that becomes mustahab. We can call it sunnah, we can call it mustahab, we can call it masnoon, or any one of those terms But they all mean that this is something that you should do, but it's not obligatory. طيب. So, what is the hukam on the things that are sunnah? إنه يعني يثاب فعله فعلها. يعني these are actions that bring reward for the one who does them, but لا يقاعب تاركها. طيب. But it does not bring punishment for the one who leaves it. طيب. And these are usul in fiqh. يعني we should, I'm introducing a little bit just so you can understand. So the things that are sunnah, if you left them, we're not saying that you become a sinner. Now, this is a general rule. Some sunan, if you habitually leave them, you can become a sinner. Your testimony can be not taken and so on and so on. I'm not getting into all of that. This is giving you a general introduction. طيب. So those things that are sunnah does not mean you don't have to do it. This is a very strong misconception nowadays. Sunnah is the way you should do it. But now the issue gets to be that if you didn't do it that way, are you sinful? Are you going to be held accountable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are you going to just lose some reward? This is where it comes. If it was wajib or fard or a rukn and you left it knowingly, your ibadah can become batila, and you can be held as a sinner in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sunnah way, if you leave it, you will lose reward. You're doing something wrong. And if you do it by being يعني, in a hateful way against the sunnah, or because your madhab, or because of your community, that can be much worse. That can put your iman in danger. I'm not going into all of that. But regularly, if due to some other time restraint or something, you left it, you're not a sinner. But the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way you should do it, is the sunnah way. Tayyib. So these things are from the sunan of wudu. Awwalan, as-siwak. Tayyib. The siwak we discussed in the earlier dars. I mentioned all the adilla, and so I'm not going to go over them again. But this is well known. Next, ghaslul kaffain thalatha. These are the kaff, the hands. Washing these three times. Tayyib. Today we take this as regularly a part of the wudu. But if you look at the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and we'll talk about that ayah and the tafsir of it inshallah in the next dars. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ordain this in the Quran. Nor did Rasulullah sallam order this for wudu. So we say that Rasulullah sallam did it. And we have many ahadith, like the hadith of Ibn Zayd, which is muttafaqun alayhi in Bukhari and Muslim. And the famous hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, also in Bukhari and Muslim. And other ahadith that mention that Rasulullah washed the hands three times before actually beginning with what is ordered in the Quran from the madbada, istinshaq, and face and so on. So we say this is sunnah. Rasulullah did it. You should do it. But we cannot say it's fard or rukn, because we don't have an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet for this. So to wash the hand three times in the wudu, the kaffain, this is mustahab. This is sunnah. You should do it. Tayyib. But we don't say that, we don't have a proof to say that this is obligatory. But Rasulullah did it, so we say it's sunnah. Tayyib. The mu'allif here gives you a mas'ala, a fiqh ruling that is not related to wudu, because it is related to washing the hands three times, which is if you wake up from the sleep of night. إِذَا اسْتَيْقَضَ أَحَدَكُمْ مِنَ النَّوْمِهِ. Rasulullah said, if one of you wakes up from his sleep. And this hadith is in al-Bukhari and Muslim as well. In another riwayah, it says, min al-nawm al-layl, yani from the sleep of night. And I'll explain that, inshallah. La yaghmis, do not insert yadahu fi ina'i, into a bowl, hatta yaghsalaha thalathan, until he has washed it three times. Fa'innahu la yadri ayna batat yadahu, because a person may not know where his hand was. Tayyib. So what does the hadith tell us? And there are many rawayat from this hadith, and no doubt it's in Bukhari and Muslim, so it's authentic hadith. The Rasulullah said, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he should not enter his hand into a bowl until he has washed it three times. What is the hukam from that? The hukam from that is that this is wajib. In wudu, we don't have an order like this, so we say this is mustahab. This is sunnah. But the one waking up from sleep, Rasulullah ordered it here, and in multiple ahadith from multiple sahaba, multiple asanid, authentic asanid. So we said here this becomes wajib. And this is from the aqwal of the madhab. This is the madhab, and this is rajih, no doubt, bi adilla, bi proofs. It is wajib on us as Muslims, male and female, when you wake up from deep sleep, which is the sleep of night, that before you start cooking and cleaning and putting your hands in pots and things and taking out water with your hands inside the pot, before all of that, you wash your hands 3 times. And then Rasulullah explains the hikmah of this. He says, you don't know where your hand has been. I mean, when you were asleep, when you were out, when it's deep sleep. And this is why we say this is from the, according to the Mu'tamid of the Madhab, as mentioned in Insaf and in the Sharh of Muntaha al-Iradat and so on, in Al-Ikna' and Kashf al-Kina', that this is for the sleep of night. What does that mean? That means a deep sleep. Not if you just took a little nap or you just put your head down. Usually your hands are going to be somewhat in control. But if you're out, you don't know. You could be scratching. You could be putting your hand somewhere. You know, things could happen. You don't know what may have touched you or what you may have touched. Things that are najis. Even if inside the body they would not be najis, but outside there, I'm not going to go into detail. But yani, that tells you that, and there's another faida, another benefit here, that tells you that generally najasat are cleansed by 3 washings. And we'll talk about this inshallah in Izal al-Najasat. But this hadith and its many narrations, authentic narrations, prove that Rasulullah ordered the washing of the hands 3 times for the one who wakes up from deep sleep. Hence, this becomes wajib. Even though this has nothing to do with wudu itself, but because it has to do with washing the hands, and it is wajib, not sunnah, so the mu'allif, he mentioned this for the fa'ida, for the benefit of the tulab ilm. So, all of us, when you wake up from sleep, in the night sleep, the deep sleep, you need to wash your hands. Tayyib, what if somebody works nights and sleeps throughout the day? Yani, from after praying fajr all the way to dhuhr, for example, of course, he's going to wake up for salawat. Then we say that becomes his sleep of night. But regularly, most people don't sleep deep sleep in the daytime. They sleep the deep sleep where they're out, REM sleep, dreaming, not knowing where they're at. This is the night sleep. And that's what some of the ahadith mentions, Nawm al-Layl. And that's why the Mu'tamid of the Madhab is, this is for Nawm al-Layl. Tayyib. Next. Buda'atuhu bi madmada thumma al-istinshaq. Then we get to the issue of madmada. What is madmada? To take water and put it in your thumb, in your mouth. And then again, mustahab, we'll talk about mubalagha fiha later. But to begin with madmada first, then istinshaq. Tayyib. Yani, first thing we need to understand is what is the hukam on madmada and istinshaq. This is rukn in wudu, it's fard. Tayyib. We'll talk about adilla of that when you talk about the faraid of wudu. But what is being discussed here is that when you take the water, you use it in the mouth first, do the madmada first, then the nose, then istinthar. The sunnah is to do the mouth, then the nose, but from one handful of water. Tayyib. Now I'm going to mention this mas'ala in some detail. Why? Because many people do not know the sunnah. It is from the sunnah to do madmada, the washing of the mouth, and istinshaq, washing of the nose, putting water in the nose, istinthar, doing all of that with one handful of water, either once, or if you're going to do it, yani, with the 3 handfuls, but doing them together with 1 handful. Most people, Tayyib, I remember in the late 90s, when I started to study these masail, I ran this mas'ala, and I told it to the imam of my local masjid at that time. It's a different masjid, a very big masjid, the biggest masjid in San Diego at the time for sure. And he told me, this mas'ala doesn't exist. He told me, I studied in Egypt and I memorized the Quran and I sat with these shuyukh. Never heard this mas'ala. I told him, no, madmada and istinshaq with one hand. I read this from Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Albani. He said, doesn't exist. For years, like, I would tell him and he wouldn't believe me. Until I went to go study in 2004. And then I came back with one of the books, Sharh al-Mumti', Zad al-Mustakni, on the Zad al-Mustakni of Shaykh ibn al-Thaymin. And I showed him in the book, and finally he accepted the ruling But he told me, he said, wallahi, he was raised in a Muslim land, he studied Sharia, he did all this, he said, I never heard this mas'ala. At the same time, when I started teaching this mas'ala, everybody, I remember at that time, was shocked. Everybody told me, this mas'ala doesn't exist. And I'm going to mention the adilla. Why? Because this is something that's almost lost in the ummah, except for who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided to people of knowledge. My family, my wife, one time we were in the haram, and she went out to where the wudu area is for the woman. And she was making wudu, and she had my young son, my eldest son was a very young child at the time. And she was speaking to him in our native tongue of Pashto. And some Arab ladies, may Allah reward them for their good niyyah, they were speaking to my wife. Obviously, she speaks Arabic as well. But they were speaking to each other like, oh, poor Pakistani woman that doesn't know. She, when she was making wudu with one kefti, they told her, this is not the way to do it. You do it three times with the madmada, then three times istinchak. Then she told them in Arabic that, no, the sunnah is this. And she told them about the hadith. And they were shocked in the haram. So what does that tell you? Many people in Summa throughout the Ummah don't know the Sunnah. So we hope that people will, inshallah, revive the Sunnah. Tayyib, let me go into some adilla now. First thing about making madmada first and then istinshaq second. This is mentioned throughout the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu in al-Bukhari and so on and so on. So this is something proven from those ahadith, and we never have a hadith of the other way around. So alhamdulillah, this is there proven. But the majority of the madhahib and jumhur al-ulama, they take the mas'ala that you do madmada first and then you do istinshaq separately. What most people do, they do three times the mouth with three water or whatever, and then three times the nose separately. And this is based on the hadith of Talha, who reported from his father, who reported from his grandfather, that Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yafsil, yani to separate bain al-madmada wa istinshaq. This is reported in Abu Dawood, but this is a weak hadith. This is a da'if hadith. In fact, the da'af of it is mentioned in Umdatul Ahkam al-Kubra by Abdul Ghani al-Maqtasi. If you get not Umdatul Ahkam al-Sughra, the one that's all from Bukhari Muslim, but the Kubra of the same Abdul Ghani al-Maqtasi, he discusses it in detail. Also, if you look up the book Zadul Ma'ad of Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah, he said, لم يجي الفصل بين المدمدة واستنشاق في حديث صحيح. Ibn al-Qayyim says that we did not find, it has not been reported, the separation, doing the madmada three times separately and then istinshaq separately in any sahih hadith. And then he talked about the weakness in this hadith as well. No doubt this hadith is weak. And if you look at the takhrij of Sunan Abi Dawud by Shaykh Albani and so on and so on, you will find the weakness of hadith. If you find the works of Ibn Abdul Hadi any of the Imam and Ulama Abdul Ghani al-Maqdasi, you will find this hadith is weak. So to separate, to do three times mouth and then three times nose separately, this is weak. There is no authentic hadith, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentions Zadul Ma'ad, to establish this. Rather, what do we find in Sahih al-Hadith is the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, and this is reported by Abu Dawud and al-Nasa'i, and this is a Sahih hadith as has been graded by Shaykh Albani and others. Tayyib. Where he says, in the sifa of wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma tamadmad, yani Rasulullah made madmada, wa istinthar, yani three times taking the nose, thalathan. And then he says, min kaffin alladhi akhadahu minhu al-ma, yani from the same hand that he took water, he did the madmada and istinsaq, which also istinthar, to take the water out, with the same water. Tayyib, and if that's not enough, there's another hadith which is from Abdullah ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, who says in the sifa of Rasul, in the explanation of the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thumma adkhala yadahu, yani then Rasulullah put his hand in the water, fa madmad, then he made madmada, wa istinshaq, and then he made istinshaq, min kaffin wahidatin, yani from one handful of water. He did the madmada and istinshaq, or istinthar as the earlier hadith, both of them from one kaffin wahid, any clear hadith. Wa yaf'alu dhalika thalathan, and then he did this three times. This hadith is in al-Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayh. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd that mentioned clearly kaffin wahid. There are other hadith as well, but this is enough. No sahih hadith to separate between madmada and istinshaq. and multiple Sahih Hadith, including that of in Bukhari and Muslim. So even though the Hanabila are the only ones that I really see to push this Mas'ala, but this is the correct Mas'ala, no doubt to it. There are clear Adillah, and nothing in opposition to it is even to a Hassan level. So this is the Adillah and the Mas'ala of Al-Madmada wal-Istinshaq min Kaffin Wahid, from the same hand. Tayyib. Now we get to the issue of مُبَالَغَ فِيهِمَا لِغَيْرْ صَائِمْ, to do it vigorously or to exaggerate in it except for the one who's fasting. For this there is the clear صحيح مرفوع حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, as reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, and it is authentic. Even if you look in the book Mishkat, in the Takhrij of it by Ibn Hajar, and then the Ta'liq of it by Ibn Shaykh Albani, all of them greater to be authentic. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told us وبالغ, to do it to an exaggerated or a vigorous way في استنشاق إلا أن يكون صائما, except for if you are fasting. Clear mas'ala, clear dalil. So you take the water, if you're fasting, you take the water in your mouth, you spit it out. You put the water in your nose, you take it out. That's it. But if you're not fasting, you put it in the mouth, like you exaggerate, and you take it to the side of the mouth and so on, and you take it a little bit higher in the nose. You don't drink through it, but take it a little bit higher to clean it out if you are not fasting. And this is sunnah to do this, as mentioned clearly in the hadith. Tayyib. Next mas'ala. We go to at-takhleel lil-lihyati al-kathifa, to put your fingers through your beard for the thicker beards. As I mentioned earlier, if you have a very light beard, then you have to get all the way underneath it. If you can get to it, then that's fard. But if you cannot, like some of the brothers have very thick beards, or my beard is thicker, I can't get to everywhere underneath it. So then I do the best I can when I'm washing my face, and then I put my wet fingers through my beard. And the washing is obligatory, but then the putting the fingers through the beard, this is something that is mustahab. And in it, there's the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, anna nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yukhallil lahyatihu fi wudu. Tayyib, Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he explained the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do the khilal, to put the fingers through his lahya in wudu. This is the fi'l of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the action of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have an order in the Qur'an or sahih ahadith that you must do it. So we say this is sunnah, not obligatory, but you should do it. And again, sunnah means you should do it. Well, asabi' and also in the between the fingers. Tayyib, and this mas'ala I explained already, but I'm going to explain it again because I don't want people to misunderstand this. To get water inside these areas is fard, because all of the hand up to the elbow, including the elbow, has to be washed. But if you take water, water goes through it, you're good. But then it is mustahab still to put your fingers and to go through your fingers. Tell you that's mustahab. But if you are somehow, it will be difficult, but this is in the books of fiqh, like clenching in such a way that the water doesn't go in, then you are not fulfilling an obligation to put the, but if you just go like this underwater, the water will go in, you're fine. But it is sunnah to exaggerate in that by putting it to the fingers. And this is in the hadith also marfu'an from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Laqit ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu, who mentioned that Rasulullah khallil bayn al asabi', and he used to do this through the asabi', and this is reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah. And Tirmidhi said this is Hassan Sahih, so authentically established hadith. To begin everything, the next sunnah, to begin everything with the right. When you begin washing our hands, with the right. When we do the mouth and nose, that's going to be in that order. Then when we, for example, anything that other, like not talking about face and head, but if you're talking about like the two arms, you have the right and left. You begin with the right. You have two feet, right and left. You begin on the right. This is something from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, we mentioned already in kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when Rasulullah used to do anything that was good, he would begin with the right, and then in the longer version of the hadith, he says clearly fi tuhurihi, in his purification. So this is clear for wudu that it is mustahab to begin with the right, and that hadith, the way I mentioned it, is reported in Sahih Muslim. No doubt to the authenticity of it. Tayyib, next mas'ala is وَأَخَذَ مَاءٍ جَدِيدٍ لِلْأُذْنَيْنِ, to take fresh water for the ears. What are we talking about? In the, and I'm not touching my actual head right now, but it's mustahab to make masha from the top of the head all the way down and all the way back. To make masha of the entire head is fard. We'll talk about that inshallah. But to bring it all the way back is mustahab. And then you do the ears. Now, there are two opinions amongst the ulama of Islam. One is that you make masha of the head, you take your hands all the way back, down and then all the way back. And then with the same water, the same wet hands, you do the ears. That is one opinion. And this is the mu'tamid opinion of the Hanafi madhab. Then there is a second opinion, which is that you make masha, you put it all the way back, you come all the way back, and then you take new water for the ears. And this is the mu'tamid of the Shawafi', and I found this to be the jumhur of the Malikiyah. And this is the madhab, yani as mentioned here, and we'll talk about khilaf bayn al-hanabila in this issue. Regarding this issue, there is khilaf even within the Hanbali madhab. And some people say just teach the madhab. Yeah, but you need to understand that even within the Hanabila, you have different opinions. For example, if you look in Al-Insaf or Al-Muntaha or Sharh Al-Muntaha or Al-Ghaya, Mutalib, all these relied upon books, they will give this to be the madhab. But you will find, for example, Qadi Abu Ya'la in his Ta'liq, he took the madhab to be that you use the same water, طيب, like the other Imman Ulema and Abu Khattab and Al-Majduddin ibn Taymiyyah, which is the grandfather of Taqiyuddin ibn Taymiyyah, in his famous book Al-Muharrar. He also took that you use the same water, you do not take additional or new water. And this was the preference of Taqiyuddin, the grandson Shaykhul Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And many other books of the madhab like Al-Fa'iq and others, they also mention that the same one is used. Tayyib. Now we get to this issue where we find even within the Hanabila two opinions. And then you find amongst the ulama of Islam two opinions. Here I will mention inshallah some of the adilla for it. Tayyib. The first thing, the dalil that is given for making masha with the same water. طيب. You have a few ahadith that mention the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Al-Udnan min al-Ras. The two ears are a part of the head. طيب. So this is very clear. If the two ears are a part of the head, then yani you make mashaf the head with the same water. And this hadith, we'll talk about the authenticity of it later, inshallah. But it is, even though there is a lot of discussion on it, inshallah, it is an authentic hadith. So this is a proof for those who say that you just use the same water that you did the head, you do the ears. This is the one of the adilla. Then there are other ahadith where Sahaba radiallahu anhu say, we saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam making wudu with the same water that he did when he made masah of the head, he did the ears. Very clear, authentic narrations. Tayyib, those are imma and ulema who said that no, you use a fresh water, and this is the Malikis and the Shafi'is and many of the Hanabila. What is their dalil for this? The dalil for this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd. He said, "Ra'a Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yatawadda," and I saw Rasulullah making a wudu. "Fa'akhda li'udhnayhi ma'an khilaf al-ma' alladhi akhda li'ra'sihi," that he took water for the ears separate from the water that he took for the head. Now this hadith is well known. It's been used as a dalil by Shafi'i and Maliki and Hanbali ulama. But yani in my research regarding this hadith, I found Al-Bayhaqi, for example, he authenticated. He said this sanad is sahih, at least the sanad of it. But the real problem here is in the matan. The riwayah from Sahih Muslim, which is a more authentic narration sanadan, which is what is mahfuz here, is that this is for masaha bi ra'sihi bi ma'in ghayr fadli yadihi. Yani, this is the actual hadith before we had a textual defect in it, is that Rasulullah used fresh water for the head. He did not use the water that was left over from the arms. But one of the narrators later, he made a mistake, and instead of separating between the water for the head and arms, he separated between the water for the head and ears. So this hadith is mu'allal, yani there is ilal in it. So this cannot be used as a dalil. And I'm summarizing from a lot of research here. And this is Imam Muslim and others have pointed this out, that what's mahfud, this is really about using fresh water for the head, from the, not the leftovers from the arm, not about between the head and ears. Having said that, there is, and this is where people leave it also, weak hadith, but there is a mawquf hadith from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in the Mu'tah Imam Malik. Ibn al-Qayyim says, صَحَ ذَلِكَ عَنِ ibn Umar, that Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, he did this. He used fresh water for the ears that he didn't use for the head. And from the head, he got fresh water. And this is a dalil. But as Al-Qadi Abu Ya'la and Abu Khattab and others have mentioned, as Shaykh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned, that when we find the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not find in them this practice proven from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, what we find from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he used the same water and made masha of the head and the ears, and said the ears are a part of the head. When you look at wudu, tayyib, from the mas'ala of wudu, you cannot use water that has already been used in wudu to make wudu. And we discuss this under al-ma, because that goes from tahur to tahir. Tayyib? So if you used water to wash your arms, you cannot use that same water to make masha of the head, because now, at least for the first washing, that has gone from tahur to tahir. And this is where the hadith is a dalil for it from Sahih Muslim, that Rasulullah didn't use the water that was left over from the arms for the head, because the head is a separate part of wudu. He used fresh water. But the ears are actually a part of the head. So to use the same water for the head and the ears is perfectly fine, because that's one unit. Tayyib? So I will say, the madhab even says, mu'tamidan, that if somebody uses the same water, there's no problem with that. Tayyib? So if somebody does it that way, they make mas'haf the head, and then they wipe the ears with the same water. To me, this is the regular way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is perfectly fine. According to the madhab, there is no problem with it either. It's jaiz, and this is what is from the clear adilla. But if somebody does make mas'haf the head and use new water for the ears, I don't call this a bid'ah, as some of the a'imma and ulama nowadays do, because there is the dalil of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, which is authentic. So if somebody does that, there is no problem with that either. Wallahu a'lam. Tayyib. Next, which is the last thing we're going to discuss here, غسلة الثانية والثالثة. To make wudu by washing a second and third time, this is proven from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regarding the issue of how many times you wash the limbs, there is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma in al-Bukhari, where Rasulullah washed everything once. Tayyib? So if somebody does that, we cannot say this is lacking, we cannot say the wudu is not valid. Everything, including the mouth and nose and head and ears, all of that, once. Tayyib. Then there is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again al-Bukhari, authentic hadith, where he washed everything twice. So, except for the head, and we mentioned, there is hadith for three times make mas'haf of the head as well, but what is majority they mention is the mas'haf of the head and ears is done only once. That is a sunnah way. But to do it twice is also proven from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd in al-Bukhari. Then there is the hadith for washing everything three times from the famous hadith of, from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and this is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayhi. No doubt that this is the best way. Then there is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said that if somebody washes once, this is good. If second, if you do it, this is enough. Yani. Then the second is reward. And the third, this is the way of the Anbiya. This hadith has some kalam on the sanad. There is some weakness in the sanad. But because of those ahadith in Bukhari and Muslim, this is established. This principle established. What does that mean? If you wash everything one, you have done the bare minimum, but you've done the bare minimum. If you wash everything twice, except for the head and ears, that's only done once, then this is better. But the regular way of the Anbiya, of the Prophets, and the regular way of the Muslim should be to wash everything three times, except for the head and ear, that's only done once. This should be the regular way. This is the regular way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the most rewarding way. This is the way you should do it. But if you're in some crazy rush or train is taking off and you do it only twice, it's okay. And if you're in a really emergency, you do everything once, that's a bare minimum. But this is something that we need to understand. Now, for somebody wanting to increase from that, let's say you want to do it an additional time, a fourth time, this is not permissible. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not allow this. He in some of the narrations is called dhulm or an oppression. Some of them, this is said, this is yani waste. The Sahabi asked, even if you're making wudu, is there waste in the water? Rasulullah said, even if you're sitting on the side of a river, yani the water is flowing back in, even then there is waste, even in wudu. So you do not wash a fourth time. Tayyib, a mas'ala, and we're ending here, but just a mas'ala, or one or two masail just to cover here, inshaAllah. One, can you switch it up? Yani, can you wash the arms twice and then wash the feet three times? The madhab says yes. And what is correct is yes. Because this is jais, but this is not afdal. This is not the best way. The best way is to do it the same way, because that's what we have. But we have no dalil to say you cannot do it another way, because all of them are from the sunnah. So it is jais, but the best way is to do everything three times, except for the head and ears, that's done once. This is the best way. Tayyib, next. Some of the people, they make masha of the unak, yani of the neck. Yani after they do the head, they make masha on the neck. And this is something we were taught yani with a lot of the Hanafi madaris and so on. But this is incorrect. Why? Because those ahadith are extremely weak. They are not reliable at all. There is, and they are against sahih ahadith in Bukhari and Muslim from Zayd, Abdullah ibn Zayd, and from Uthman ibn Affan and other sahaba who mentioned the wudu. They did not mention this. And those that do mention it are extremely weak. So what is authentic is you do not make masha of the neck, the nape of the back. There is no masha. This is some of the ahnaf also, once they do this, and after they've already washed the hand, they make the masha of the head and things, then they do a separate step which is going through the fingers. And this is also a bid'ah. This is not in any hadith. Rather, the isabi, and going through the isabi, is done while washing the arms. Tayyib. The last thing I will mention here is, and this is from Rawatul Murbi', the sharh of Zadul Mustakni', that Imam al-Buyuti mentions that la kalam ala al-wudu. There is no talking during the wudu. And this is what we know from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is sahih, is that during the wudu, unless there is a need, like if there is a need, you can say something, but there is no talking. Many of the little books nowadays, you have one called Masnoon Du'ai, like from South Africa and stuff. They said, oh, when you're washing the hands, you make this wudu. When you're washing your face, you say this dua. Those are bid'ah. Those are not from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are made up. I sat with some of the people who authored those books, myself, those ulama, and I asked them, what is their dalil, which hadith? And they said, oh, we saw some buzurg, some elders, some saints doing it. Even though they call it masnoon, they call it from the sunnah, but this is not from the sunnah. From the sunnah, when you begin wudu, to say bismillah. Yes, this is from the sunnah. When you finish the wudu, to say the shahada and to make other adhkar is from the sunnah, and we'll talk about that at the end. But during the wudu, we don't have any adhkar, and we should not be talking unless there is a need to say something. And this is, inshallah, where we'll end today. Jazakum Allahu khairan.